Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. Little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen, and happy 4th of July. Today is the 4th of July, so I hope everybody out there is celebrating. And on today's show, we will be talking to some legends because we have Mr. Lee Haney, 8-time Mr. Olympia, one of the true legends in the sport. And we are going to be joined with Roy Callender also. Roy was one of Lee's idols growing up, so it was great to get those two guys together again. Roy, of course, was one of the top bodybuilders in the 1970s and the 1980s. And when Lee was growing up, Lee used to look at Roy and Robbie Robinson as his idols in the magazines. So it was really cool getting those two together again. I think it's been 34 years. We figured it out on the podcast. I think it's been 33 or 34 years since they talked to each other or since they saw each other. So it's one of the great things about this podcast lately is I'm getting getting together some of the guys that haven't seen each other for a long time. We did the same thing with Roy Callender and Boyer Coe not too long ago, a couple months ago. So it's really fun seeing these guys really respect each other and they really care about each other. So it's really cool getting them together again. All right. Before we get to that, though, I do want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. They have offices all over the United States, but they can work with anybody in the continental United States just through their website. Tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast and they'll give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. And as soon as we get done with our interview with Lee Haney and Roy Callender, I'm going to be reading another article. And this one is from the September 1979 issue of Muscle Builder magazine. And man, I've been having so much fun going over these old magazines since I got them from my parents' house a couple weeks ago. This one is called The Winner, and spelled W-I-N-N-A-H, and it's about Roy Callender, and it's right after Roy won the Pro Mr. Universe contest in 1979, which was held in Australia, promoted by Paul Graham, who went on to promote the Mr. Olympia the following year. So Roy had a great year in 1979. He won the Pro Mr. Universe contest in Australia, and then he won the Diamond Cup contest on August 25th, actually, which was Chris Dickerson's birthday. And Chris Dickerson was making his comeback in the IFBB at that contest, and he took a very close second to Roy. And then Roy was really looking like he was going to be a real force to contend with at the Mr. Olympia that year. But unfortunately, Roy hurt his back. He hurt his lower back doing T-bar rows with Lou Ferrigno at World's Gym that summer. So I remember I was at that 1979 Mr. Olympia, and Roy was literally limping on stage. I remember Mike Mentzer had to help him off the stage when they were on stage competing in the over 200-pound class. So Roy obviously was not at his best. And I think Franco was actually helping Roy backstage with adjusting his back because Franco, of course, was a chiropractor. So, yeah, I'm going to be reading this article. It's really good, and in it Roy talks a lot about his training. And it's going to correspond to what he says in the upcoming interview that we got coming up with Lee Haney and Roy. All right. So I had a really good weekend. I was at the Orlando Europa contest. Well, they did have a contest, but it's more of an expo. And it was at the convention center out in Orlando, Florida. and it's held by Ed and Betty Pariso, and they've been doing this for many years. I want to say at least 10 years. And they do three of these shows. They do the first one in Dallas, which is their hometown, and then they do one in Orlando, and then they also do one in Phoenix, Arizona. So at this one, this year, coming back from the COVID year, of course, Ed wanted to try to do something different. So he set up a stage in one end of the exhibition hall, and he was going to do seminars all day. So he asked me to be a part of it a couple months ago, I think. So I got to interview on Friday night Lee Labrada and his son Hunter Labrada, which was really great. And unfortunately, they did not tape this, and I wish they would have shown it live on maybe Instagram or YouTube or something like that, one of the streaming services. But they didn't do that. So, and we really didn't have that great of a crowd, especially Friday, which wasn't as busy as Saturday. But Saturday, they had Phil Heath there, and they had a pretty good audience for that. They didn't have a lot of chairs set up, but they had a pretty good audience for Phil Heath. But as soon as he got done, everybody left. And then on Saturday, I got to interview Terrence Ruffin, who was second at the Classic Physique Olympia last year. Terrence is a really good bodybuilder. He's from the Florida area, and he had his coach, Joe Bennett, with him. And Joe is really coaching a lot of people when it comes to training. His handle on Instagram is called Hypertrophy Coach. So he specializes in getting these guys bigger. So I got to interview both of those guys, and I asked Terrence about his contest history, of course, and his posing ability. And then we talked to Joe about the training programs they were using for Terrence. But like I said, the one I really enjoyed was the one with Lee Labrada and Hunter Labrada. And I thought I did a very good job to not to pat myself on the back, but I was able to handle the questions for going back and forth between Lee and Hunter, asking Hunter about his upcoming training for the Chicago Pro, which he's going to be doing in 3 weeks, and then asking Lee about the old days of bodybuilding in the 1980s when he was competing. And Lee gave me a compliment afterwards, and he said I did a really good job with the interview. So it was a lot of fun interviewing both of those guys. So thanks to Ed and Betty Pariso for having me out there, and I hope to get to do more of those. Hopefully I'll be at the Olympia this year doing backstage interviews, but I really like that seminar format. So hopefully we can do more of those again. Speaking of seminars, I am going to have my first online bodybuilding seminar. This is going to be called Building Muscle After 40. And we've got it all set up. It's going to be July 31st, which is in 4 weeks. So the cost is $149. It's a 3-hour seminar. It'll go from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And afterwards, it will be taped. So if you want to purchase it later, if you can't make it on that specific day, you can also do that. So I have the link below. If you look below here in the description part of this podcast, you'll be able to see it. So you can sign up there. And I hope to get some people signed up. And this is going to be really fun for me. I've done a lot of seminars before, but I've never done one online. And I saw Dave Palumbo does his seminars now online. I think he started it last year because of the COVID thing. So I'm going to try it too. And I figure it's better that way. It opens it up more. And instead of people coming to Tampa to do a seminar or to attend a seminar, we can do it all around the world. So I can get people from everywhere. So if any of you out there are interested in how to build muscle after 40, I'm going to be giving a lot of diet and nutrition and training information. Of course, I've got over 40 years of experience myself, and I've been doing this since I was 14, and now I'm in my 50s, so I have a lot of experience with training over 40. So, like I said, that link is below in the description of the podcast, so I hope to see you guys sign up for that if some of you are interested in that. All right, and hey, I do want to mention, this is our 4th year anniversary. I started this podcast on, I believe it was July 5th, 2017. So we've been doing this for 4 years now. I had no idea this thing was going to go 4 years. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know if we were going to be able to find enough guests to last even a year. But somehow here we are still going at 4 years. And I think we got a good audience. I think a lot of people love the show. So I appreciate everybody out there who listens. Those of you who have been with us for the last 4 years. And those of you who just started listening to us, I really appreciate your support. And I want to thank my producer, Paul, also for being with me all 4 years. And he helps put these shows together after we record them. So appreciate all you guys for listening. And for those of you that missed a lot of the podcast, if you're new to the podcast, you should just go to the website, which is bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And we have a bunch of links on top. You can click on the video interviews, which is what I started doing before I started the podcast. But you can also click on the podcast. And I think we've got about 200 shows now, about 200 podcasts that we've done. So we've got a lot of guests on there. I get requests a lot of times for people that I've already interviewed. So just check that out, and you'll see a lot of them on there. And next week, to celebrate, I'm going to have a four-year anniversary, and it will probably be a two-parter. It will probably be next week and the week after that. And I'm going to go back into the archives and get some of my favorite excerpts from some of my favorite shows with some of my favorite guests. So like I said, we've got about 200 shows to choose from. So I'll be going back, and that'll be a lot of fun, pulling some of my favorite stuff back up. So that'll be next week. All right, so let's get to some of my emails here that I got. If you guys want to email me, of course, you can always do that anytime at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I got two emails last week. This one was from Andrew Heffernan, and Andrew, of course, is one of our Patreon donors. He contributes every month to the podcast, so I appreciate you, Andrew. And I know I mention this every week, but if anybody's interested in being a Patreon donor, you can also do that at the website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the link for that. So Andrew says, I love this in-depth look at the life and influence of Mike Mentzer from one of his biggest fans and closest friends. Of course, he's talking about the John Little interview that we had last week. He said, what a fascinating person, a staunch individualist, a free thinker, and a powerful intellect. Great to learn more about him. One small thought, when you're unable to secure an interview, I would love to hear you mix it up by doing a solo show on training and nutrition tips. You're a modest guy, and you never tout your own considerable achievements in the sport, but I'm sure plenty of listeners, myself included, would love to hear your thoughts on training from time to time, even if it's just 20 minutes worth. You're a wealth of information, not just on the history of the sport, but on how to do it successfully at the highest level. One idea on how to fill the weeks when you're waiting on Rick Wayne. Peace, Andrew Heffernan. P.S. Haney calendar next week. I can't wait. Thank you, Andrew. That's a great thought. And I have had some other people suggest the same thing. So I will keep that in mind on the weeks when we don't have interviews, because we had a couple of those last month. This one comes from Paul Thorpe, and he says, hey, John, I've always greatly appreciated your shows and the great guests. I just had an idea. You may want to see if it would be worth a show or a discussion on a show with guests. When hearing John Little say how inspired he was by Bruce Lee's physique, I thought maybe you could look over the years at physiques that inspired many to train who were not competitive bodybuilders. Some who come to mind, such as Sly Stallone. And, of course, there's a history of him being trained by Franco at one point. Others, maybe the 70s heavyweight boxer Ken Norton, Mr. T of the A-Team, Rocky fame, numerous wrestlers over the years who clearly trained in a bodybuilding manner. Then there was the great strongman physiques. I know I was inspired to train after seeing John Paul Sigmorsson on the World's Strongest Man way before I knew who Arnold was. Just an idea anyway. Leave it with you. All the best, Paul Thorpe. All right. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, another great name would be Steve Reeves, of course. I know I've talked to many bodybuilders. I've done many interviews on this podcast. Countless bodybuilders who were inspired by Steve Reeves. Even some of the more current guys, like I remember Porter Cottrell said he was inspired by Steve Reeves. All right. I hear the fireworks in the background. July 4th celebration is going on right now. All right, also this week, I did put up on my YouTube channel the interview I did with Annabelle Lopez and Bill Nylon, where they talked about meeting up with Chris Dickerson about a month or so ago. So Annabelle was a former WBBG Mr. America winner himself. They both live, him and Bill is a close friend of Chris Dickerson. Bill is also an NPC competitor and an NPC judge in the Florida area. And they, along with some other people, organized a trip to go see Chris Dickerson, who was confined to a nursing home in Florida, right around the Fort Lauderdale area. So we had Bill on and Annabelle on to talk about their trip with Chris Dickerson. And I put that up on YouTube. I put some pictures up there and with the video. So I got some comments on that. I'd like to read some of these comments that I got on my YouTube page. Samuel Clemens said, Chris Dickerson is the consummate gentleman. Through mutual friends, I had the honor of going out to dinner with Chris and a group after he won the first night of the champions in 1980. Very worthy Mr. O. Paul and Barbara Annabelle said, Chris Dickerson's posing and his consistent conditioning in just about every show he entered should be acknowledged more by those in the industry today. Dean Phillips said, man, it freaking sucks getting old. I'm a big fan of Chris from back in the days. John Hansen brings it every time. Mad respect to him and his guests. Odessa File said, I met Chris Dickerson on two separate occasions when he competed at the Canada Cup in Toronto in 1980 and at the Gold's Gym Venice in 1981. He was very friendly and gracious. Max Power said, I saw Chris compete in two Olympias. His stage presence was second to none. Amazing poser and physique. Very underrated. Much respect. TP said, Annabelle, that name brought back memories. Good to see you here. All the best. Kermit Hitler said, wishing Chris a speedy recovery. TP also said, Chris was and is an inspiration of mine since the 70s. I wish him the best. Thanks for keeping the channel going, John. I love the content. Samuel said, Annabelle Lopez was on the cover of Muscular Development in April of 1970. Dan said, how awesome of Annabelle Lopez to organize that visit for Chris. What a great friend. Chris Dickerson had some great Grand Prix battles with Boyer Co., Casey Viator, and others. Annabelle was in the mix in some of those, too. Adolfo Robles, there's a name I haven't heard in forever. There was an article in Muscle Training Illustrated some 40 years ago about Adolfo's bodybuilding sculptures. Samuel said, I still have this issue. Was this the year that he won the AAU Mr. America? He was talking about an issue of Chris that I put up in the pictures on the video. He said, Arthur Jones had an article in it describing a new revolutionary approach to training. I wonder if it ever caught on. Doc Solera said, at 14 minutes in, Sophia Loren poster up in the right-hand corner. Just a fantastic shot of good friends and fantastic times. Tony said, seems like a great, thoughtful guys. Piazza said, John, any way we can find out what nursing home Chris is in so we can send him get well cards? I'll find that out from Bill. Maybe I'll mention that on the show next week. And then Bill Nealon himself said, super job, John, and the accompanying photos really enhanced the interview. It was a real pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity. Simon says, thanks for a great post, John. I'm glad to hear more about Chris and his prime, and I'm glad he's well and out of the hospital. Actually, he's still in the nursing home, but he seems to be doing better. Barbara said, Chris lived on San Vicente Boulevard in Santa Monica. We used to jog on SVB. Chris is a nice man. Sergio Mulis said, wow, what a great tribute to one of the champions and gentlemen of the sport. While never the most genetically gifted bodybuilder, Chris was always exhibited great conditioning and was a good poser as well. I was always amazed at how well he looked on stage in comparison to the other larger and gifted bodybuilders, especially in the 1980 through 1982 Mr. Olympia years. I also remember his great show commentaries back in the day. Kudos to Annabelle and Bill for the update and the tribute to Chris. I knew about his health issues last year, and I was wondering how he was faring. A big shout out to John for keeping these guys relevant and honoring the golden age of the sport. This one says, I moved Chris to Florida some time back, and my old training partner, Tony Pandolfo, moved him. I remember holding a Sandow trophy, nothing but a gentleman. Legendary channel. Thank you, John Hansen. I love the old school. Steven Roberts said, am I the only one that thinks Bill looks like Paulie Walnuts here? And this last one says, did Chris have a partner? Was he ever married? No, I don't think he was ever married. So that is all the comments we got. And that really was a great tribute. And I also heard today from Sean Ray. Sean saw my video that I put up on YouTube, and he was asking me where Chris was at. So I gave him the phone number for the nursing home that Chris was at. And Sean called him today, and he was on the phone with Chris, and he also brought in Lee Haney. So the three of them talked to Chris on the phone, and Sean told me by the end of the call, Chris was in tears. So that was really great. It sounds like they really had a great discussion. And I'm glad that both Sean and Lee Haney reached out to Chris just to let him know how much we miss him and how we're still thinking of him while he's going through this tough time. So that was great. Okay, here's our interview with Lee Haney and Roy Callender. And we had a great reunion with Lee and Roy. And at the end of the interview, Roy is talking about this app that he's developing for his training program, and we brought on his friend, and that'll be at the very end of the interview. So here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast, and I have two real legends with me today. First, we have the great Mr. Lee Haney, 8-time Mr. Olympia. And joining him, we have one of Lee's idols growing up, the great Roy Callender, also one of the top bodybuilders in the 1970s and 80s. Welcome to the show, guys. It's a pleasure having both of you here.
What a pleasure to be here, John. Thank you. To see this guy?
Well, hey, John, it's a pleasure to be over with, I mean, one of my all-time idols. I mean, right. Mr. Roy Callender, man. It don't get any better than that.
Listen, you stop trying to make me tear up, okay, man? Stop it. My goodness.
So Roy, let me ask you, I didn't want any of the audience to miss, you know, what our conversation, so I want to make sure we captured it all. So Roy, how young are you now?
34 years.
That's what I'm talking about. 34
years. People have been born, grown up, got married, gone to university 34 years. And we are still...
I like that.
What a blessing. It's really, really, I feel really thrilled, man. I don't know if the words can really express how I feel seeing you and having a conversation with you again.
Well, man, you know what? I never will forget. And I recently saw, I think, where you posted. One of my other trainers, he's under my certification program, he posted a photo of me there in Barbados when you brought me, Shirley, my son Joshua down.
I took that picture and posted it sideways. I'm not an IT guy, but I posted it anyway because I was so thrilled when my wife showed me the picture. I said, No, this is Lee. He was in Barbados standing next to the bar where they served the drinks. And he was with his wife. Give me that picture. I'm going to post this.
And I'm glad you did, because it brought back so many fun memories. I really appreciate my time there, and I never forgot it. Thank you for your hospitality.
That was a pleasure. But one of the guys even remembered the song you posed to. One of the young bodybuilders said, he posed to She Drives Me Crazy. I said, oh, what?
Yeah, yeah, man.
I forgot the posing music. I said, this is great.
Yeah.
So you still live in the memories of the people there. You will never forget the reception, of course, from the time you got to the airport until the time you left. You still live in their memory, man. It's great.
Was that the last time you guys saw each other, or was it that contest in Essen in 1987 that you competed in, that Grand Prix?
Now, that makes me a liar. When you said to me the last time I saw him, I was referring to on stage.
Okay.
The last time I saw him was when I had the pleasure. I was blessed and allowed to bring him to Barbados so that the rest of my country can see this guy I'm always talking about.
Okay.
So it was 1988. 88 or 89, I think.
Okay.
He was my guest at the Family Fitness Center in Barbados.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. So, Lee, we were talking a couple weeks ago about our idols growing up. And I was just telling Roy, I just got a bunch of, I was at my parents' house last weekend in Chicago. I grabbed a bunch of old muscle builders from like 77, 78, 79. You know, yeah. I know you can relate to that growing up, reading those magazines and stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember seeing Roy and the Diamond Cup.
Yeah, the Diamond Cup.
He always bothers me.
Roy was mass on top of mass. Before there was mass, he was already mass.
Right.
Well, man, Lee, when you said that, a lot of people walked into my studio and repeated it to me all the time. I said, no. No, he's quite a nice guy. He's not going to say anything negative about me. He said no, but if he can give you that compliment, Roy, you gotta take it. Okay,
right.
Coming
That's
from
right.
Lee, I'll take it, man.
Great. So, Lee, growing up in Spartanburg, South Carolina, you're a young guy reading the magazines like all of us were at one time, and the guys you looked up to was Robbie and Roy, right? Those were the two guys that you were big idols of yours. Of course, with Arnold and Sergio as well, but those were the two guys from the 70s that you were looking up to.
Yeah, most certainly, man. Everything that Roy and Robbie wrote, man, and I would read, I would study their training techniques, sets, reps, how they connected the various body parts together. I just consumed everything that that they would write. And man, their legs and their chest, and I mean everything, you know, I wanted that.
Yeah.
And I always said to myself, if I can get a Roy Callender, Robbie Robertson back and chest and side chest and arms, then hey, nobody can stop me.
so flattering, man.
Yeah. Wait, what did you do? I don't know if I ever asked this before. What did you do in your training to develop that mask? Because you really were a standout in that era. You know, I mean, as far as even like the best bodybuilders, you had that thickness and size that very few guys had. What exercise did you do in your routine? Like what kind of training philosophy do you follow?
John, I really don't know how to answer that question because I don't think that I stood out that much when I look at some of the pictures, yes. But that is not the mindset I took on stage with me. So it never really registered with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you will understand this, you will understand, Lee will understand as well, but I don't know how you looked at it, but I never, when people would give me a compliment, I never thought that I earned it. I don't know, that was a weakness or something I never paid much attention to or had much guidance on.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been a weakness. I never really thought of it that way. So when you say these things today, I am more mature now. I look back and say, well, how come you didn't see that role?
Yeah.
I remember going to Gold's World Gym one day in California, and I had goggles on, these rubber slippers, shorts, and a tank top, and I'm walking into the gym with a little duffel bag slung over my shoulder. And this guy was sitting by the door, and he said, Calendar, what? My goodness, look at your legs, man. What have you been doing? You're amazed. Look at the veins. And I'm saying, shh, don't say anything, man. Be quiet. Arnold was sitting standing by the juice bar. He called me over. Hey, Roy, come here a minute. Come here. You are now rated the third bodybuilder on earth. Then someone gives you a compliment. You accept it. Say, thank you very much. Push your chest in the air and walk on. Don't hang your head. You're not in Canada anymore. You're in California now. It was a rough way to teach me, but I'd never got to it. I'm sure Lee is like that, because Lee has always been very shy, always been very reserved. He didn't think himself as the god of bodybuilding. That's what I got from him. Every time I talked to him, that's what I got from him. Came to Barbados, trained at my gym, and he said, you got anybody to train with me? I said, yeah. Said, you sure you want to? Said, bring anybody, bring one of the guys. So I brought a guy, one of my helpers called Oddly, and Oddly trained with Lee. And he has never forgotten. He still talks about it until this day. So I did a good for Oddly, my employee, and I did good for myself because I couldn't train with Lee at the time. I was too busy preparing for the event.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's
so Roy, I got a question now. Roy, what did your training routine look like? How was your philosophy in the way of exercises and reps and sets? You know, that philosophy that created the physique that you're so worldly known for.
What a question, man. That can only come from you. I never really was interested in sets and reps. And I don't think you can tell me you were it because I watched you training with Oddly and you didn't count reps in our set. You just said, you do this. You showed him how to do a few things. And I didn't hear you counting sets and reps. I somehow had that inert intuition, if you can call it that, to feel when I have done enough and to feel what I needed to do with, say, less squats, what I needed to do with that to complement it. I always thought of myself at work using a dumbbell and a barbell as my chisel and my hammer. I always thought of myself sculpting my own thing without numbers rather than sculpting it. This is what I see in my mind I want to look like. and this is what I have to do to get to what I look like. What I want. This is how I looked at it. I don't know if I was dumb, stupid, short-sighted, but it felt good, and it was working. So I said, why should I annoy myself thinking about how many sets I did? If my tempo is correct, if I'm not wasting much time in the gym, I think I'm doing the right thing. And automatically, I live like that. I don't know if that explanation suffices, but that's how I remember it was. I was never a guy who had to do 3 sets of 6. Why? Suppose that day my body wasn't going to do 3 sets of 6. Suppose that day I didn't have the rest or the psychological oomph to do the 3 sets of 6. I always did what, and I always wanted to train. Thank the heavens. And my body just asked for it, and I gave it. I don't know how else to put it. It may sound confusing, but I was never bogged down in having to stay in the gym for an hour or many sets. I just wanted to do everything correctly. And I wanted to feel every rep that I did in every exercise that I did. Still to this day.
Yeah, you were known for kind of long training sessions, right, Roy? From what I remember reading in the magazines, if that was correct.
Some are somewhat exaggerated.
Okay.
as it would have been in those days.
Right.
But some people, I have to ask them logically, do you think anyone can train for 6 hours?
Right.
So don't let what you read, you know, fool you. It's just, see, 6 hours in a, no, I have a hard time doing 6 clients in a row.
So Lee, you were inspired by Roy as far as like what types of movements to do, right? You know, like the T-bar rows, the barbell rows, bench presses, inclines, all that stuff, the basic compound stuff for building your physique.
Yeah, that's what I saw with Roy and his, the way he put his training together, the basic fundamental movements, the form, the right technique, the mind and the muscle link, you know, and Roy just talked about the importance of that. And as I gathered that as a younger bodybuilder, I somewhat adopted that. I did try my very best to adopt that same understanding of how to listen to the body. And I believe in listening to the body, I was able to will my body to take on the shape or the mold of a Roy or a Callender, a Roy or either a Robbie, and the body did what I willed it to do. Mm-hmm. Like the Roy was saying, of course, I use a certain perimeter so that I didn't overtrain. I believe in stimulate, don't annihilate, which is why I never got injured.
Right. But
nor did Roy, nor did Robbie. You know, no one during that school of bodybuilding tore themselves up.
Yes.
You compare it to like the guys today, they are a mess at the age of 30, 40. They almost out of the game altogether.
Yeah.
And here Roy is an excellent specimen, you know, later in his years. And I mean, Roy's only 34, but I'm 61, you know. I have no injuries, but that's because I mimicked or copied to the best of my ability the training techniques of legends like Roy. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot can be said for that. I just finished doing a meet and greet at a gym here in Georgia called Madhouse Gym.
Yeah, I saw that.
When I tell you, John, it was mad. I've never seen a gym like this in my entire time of being a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking really? 20 leg presses,
wow.
20 leg extensions,
what?
20 chest machine. 20, I think that's too little. This guy searched the United States looking for every type of equipment you can imagine. I saw things I've never seen in my life. But getting back to conversations with the audience that attended, the training techniques were just so off. It was the most awkward, just is there's no science behind what these guys are doing now, which is why they get hurt, which is why they don't develop a classic physique over time with the right flow to the physique. They look, a lot of them look like mutant physiques. Big necks, weird blocky waist, nothing really fits. And I see why, because a lot of them are internet. They go to the internet or YouTube and follow some guy who never won the Creekwater USA. And he's supposed to be a coach. Whereby I'm sure Roy's seen this forever. But I'm thankful that it was people that went before me, like Roy, who gave the right training principles to young athletes like myself coming up. And here I am today, you know, healthy, look good, and I won a couple of Mr. Olympic competitions.
Yeah, you did. Hey, Lee, going on that, do you think a lot of that is from the difference from the magazines compared to what we see on the internet now? I mean, do you think you learned better training techniques reading the magazines? Were you able to get
more? Well, the magazines are not as they were years ago.
Yeah.
You saw, like, you see Roy routines on there. You saw Robbie. You saw Arnold. You know, it's just advertisement ploy now.
Yeah. But I mean, back in the day, it was real. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so different now. Then you got the internet with Joe Blow is on there, you know, and he's telling you, hey, this is what you got to do. Use a few cuss words and get everybody pumping that site. And oh, yeah, man, he got to know what he's talking about because he used God's name in vain. He got to be the man. You know, it's sad, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I see the same thing in the gym. I see these kids. I'm like, where are they getting their training information? You know, how are they learning?
I saw on Lee's shirt, if you don't mind me saying this, John, certification. Yeah. And this is what I said to you. I am lazy or timid or not far-sighted enough. But I have only started my certification because one kid's father called me and told me his son wants to be a personal trainer. And he's got his certification and stuff. But he doesn't want him to go being a personal trainer unless he's coached by me. He has to learn what personal training is. That is the biggest compliment I have ever received from anyone in Canada. And I only started with him a few weeks ago. And as soon as I started with him, everybody now wants to come and train with me. And I saw Lee's certification. So I was thinking about starting my own. I have to do it now because this guy is doing his mentorship here. He's already got certification from one of the organizations, but now he wants to learn to be a real coach, he said. And he's 19 years old and so serious and so dedicated. And now you'll be surprised the calls I've gotten. I want to do that too. How much does it cost? I don't care how much it costs. I want to do it. So this guy's father didn't care about the price. He said he has to come to you. If he wants to stay in my house, he wants to be a personal trainer. He has to be trained by you to be a personal trainer. And that is because someone asked me to do this, but I didn't have the drive or the foresight that Lee has to start my own personal trainer certification program. I was forced to start this because I was forced into a corner. That's the sort of, I don't know what sort of attitude to call it. Low key, backstage, I take a back seat to this sort of thing, attitude that I've always had. But this guy, thank heavens, has forced me to understand you have something, you have to pass it on to these youngsters. And he gave his son as an example, and it's not cheap. And he sent his son to me. What a blessing, a compliment, and an honor. I have to live up to all those things.
Well, Roy, you're a little humble, but didn't you just win Trainer of the Decade or something in Canada not too long ago?
That's what they said. They call Canada the greatest bodybuilder of all time. All those little things, but I don't take them seriously, John. I like to reach out and touch people and help them and show them the real me, if there's such a thing. Mm-hmm. But I take those honors, compliments, and just, you know, I accept them, but I don't let them. This old head here is too old to get big.
John, as Roar was talking about the certification, when I'm doing my workshops with the young, with the students from all over the place, one of the things I always let them know that Lee Haney did not create Lee Haney by itself. There was people that came before Lee Haney that gave Lee Haney information on training, nutrition, and training philosophies and how to put it together. And one of those people was Mr. Roy Callender. My certification program is based upon and came from, it was birthed by people like Roy and Robbie and Arnold, those who came before me. When I was establishing the certification program, I said, wait a minute now. We in the world of bodybuilding are the best at what we do. We don't guesstimate training. We don't guesstimate nutrition. We've lived. We've been there, done that.
Yeah.
So who are these people creating certification programs? Yeah, they may have a lot of information that they've been able to put together and package, but they don't have life experience to put together and package. I had several certified people with these national long accredited associations come to me and say, well, yeah, I'm certified, but I don't know what to do. How do I put together a routine? I never did that. So that's where the difference comes in, that we are, what Roy's doing, what I'm doing, we're hands-on, been there, done that. We know a matter of fact about what we're doing.
Right.
Because you got a certification written on, that doesn't mean you know diddly squat.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm real happy to see Roy moving that direction, but I am Roy. I am Robbie. And so when I just decided to sit to do the certification program, I said, well, why shouldn't I? If these other people who are nobodies in our world, who nobody in the world of true training can do it, then guess what? It needed to be one created by us.
Right.
The founding fathers of how the body works.
Exactly.
And how it responds to nutrition and training.
Yeah. I think that's so awesome that you guys are giving back to the sport by doing that, you know, and sharing all the knowledge you had and experience. Go ahead, Roy.
Wow. What a day. What a day. I'm getting some education myself, Lee. Thank you very much, my brother. Thanks, man. What a day. What a day. Brother, thank you, John.
Hey, Lee, didn't you see Roy compete in the 81 Mr. Olympia? Weren't you there in the audience at that show?
Oh, yeah, man. I sure was. That's the one, I think, Franco won that one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I was there. I don't agree that he should have won it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does.
You know, because he had just came back off an injury.
Yeah, that leg.
So his legs wasn't there.
Right.
You know, there's just so many things that's controversial in the sport, you know. But, you know, the whole thing, when I'm working and speaking to the young people in my certification program, I say, listen, at the end of the day, you get to live your passion in bodybuilding. You get to compete. You get to, you know, do all of those things.
Yeah.
But you also want to, if you're really compassionate, you love this, you also want to think of ways to create an economy by doing what you do. If your goal is to become a personal trainer, then become the best because you can eat from this, you know, and that's what I do. I train attorneys. I've trained Evander Holyfield, and Evander Holyfield wanted to come from cruiserweight to heavyweight, put 15 pounds on it. I use explosive ballistic style training to do that. When the owner of the Philadelphia 76er, Harold Katz, called me, said, listen, Sean Bradley, which was 7'4", we can't put any weight on it. Then he said, we got a doctor in exercise physiology training it, and he can't get no weight on it. He said, do you think you can do that, Lee? I said, man, of course I can do it. This is what I do. Right. This is what we live. I put 20 pounds on Sean Bradley, 10 pounds on him the first month and 10 pounds on him the second month. I put 20 total pounds on him along with his endurance and his ability to play and stay flexible. So I did, and then Shannon Sharp and Gary Shepfield and, you know, Riddick Bowe. I work with all of these people. So what we do in bodybuilding, we build bodies. We know how nutrition works. We know how to change gears depending upon the functionality of that particular athlete. That's what we do. So that's why what Roy is doing in the way of his certification, Roy, better late than never.
Yeah. That's what my wife says. That's what I'm beginning to repeat to myself all the time. Yeah. I say it to myself all the time. I thank you very much, man. But you were talking about, John asked about the 1981 Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
People never stop talking about it, but that's the only Olympia I ever thought that I could have won. And after the Olympia, Joe Beter said to Arnold, Joe Beter said to Rick Bain in his seat, this is Royce, God rest him. And said it to Rick Bain, and Rick Bain has never forgotten it. And when it was all announced, Joe came to me and said, Roy, I'm sorry. I'll fix it up. I'll do something about it. Okay, I can't give you the title, but soon as I got back to Canada, the phone started ringing from all over the world. I want you to come here and teach. I want you to come here. And so I made up financially for it. That job was Joe's thing, spending a long time in Japan and Norway and Sweden. Financially, yes, he showed me his sincerity by doing that for me.
Mm.
But what they did at that thing, it wasn't right. It left a bitter taste in people's mouth. And even though Franco is no longer with us, people are still talking about it.
Yeah.
So I had the privilege. Lee has not had this privilege. Lee, yeah, you have not had this privilege, my brother, of being involved in two of the most controversial Olympias of all time.
Right. <81.
laughs> No. Oh man, bro, you had to fight tooth and nail, man. I wasn't in that era.
You better believe it. You have never been involved in a controversial Olympia in your life. All the Olympias you kick some rear end, and you really earned it. You had to. But when you walk up on stage, it must feel good though. And you walk up on stage, best physiques in the world, and judges who don't know you, have heard about you, are saying, no, this guy deserves to win for the 8th time. We deserve to win for the 9th time. I'm sure if he wanted to, you come back for the 9th time and won it as well. But that was not the direction the master had for you. So,
hey Roy, what did you think of Lee at his first Mr. Olympia win in 1984? Because you were in that contest too.
What I think of him?
Yeah.
I wish I had recorded it, because what I'm going to say to you now might sound like, Roy is only saying this, but I don't lie. So when he won the 1984 Olympia, I said, here comes another Arnold. Nobody's going to beat him for the next 8-9 years. No one.
Yeah.
And the guy said, what are you talking about, Roy? Come on. He's won, but he's not going to be there for that long. I have not forgotten that. People who told me, Roy, you've got to be kidding, I'm sure they have forgotten. But we had a big argument about it. I said, no, nobody's going to beat him for the next 8 years. When he came to Barbados, I said, nobody's going to beat this guy for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So come and see him. And the whole of Barbados came out to see him.
Yeah.
This is how much I believed in and loved this guy.
Yeah. And Lee was the next Arnold, because no one dominated the sport as much as Arnold did until Lee came along.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Well, you know, man, you know, thank you for the compliment, Roy.
Not a compliment, it's the truth, brother.
Wow.
Man, not a compliment.
I attribute that to, you know, when I was 17 years old, I fell in love with bodybuilding, fell in love with you as a kid. And I remember going to bed one night and I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, if you see fit to make me the best at this sport that I love so much, I'll go before the world and give you the praise and the glory. That was my prayer when I was 17 really? Years old.
My yes. goodness.
And I think I know for some reason, he saw fit. He saw that he could trust me with that gift. And man, I tell you, 1982, I won the junior. I won the Atlantic USA here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Then I won a few months later, I won the junior nationals. Then a couple months later, I won the NPC nationals. Then a couple of weeks later, I won the IFBB World Championship, all in 1982.
Right.
And then in 83, I placed third in my first Olympia at a weight of 233 pounds. But I peaked. It's amazing. I peaked 4 weeks before at 243 pounds. Hmm. And as I go back in my mind, Arnold saw me at World's Gym. I weighed 243. And he looked at me and he had this puzzled look on his face. He said, Lee, how are you looking like this 4 weeks out from the show? And I just shrugged my shoulder and said, I'm just training. I don't know why I was looking like that. But then the day of the show, 2 weeks, 4 weeks later, I only weighed 233. What Arnold saw, he saw me peaking.
Yeah.
But he didn't say, Lee, you're peaking too soon. He kept it to himself because I guess he didn't want to shake my confidence in that because I didn't know what I was peaking or not. I didn't know. I was 23 years old. But anyway, man, the following year, I found out what I did wrong because I dropped 10 pounds within those 4 weeks. Mm. And what happened? I was just training like a horse and eating like a bird. So the following show, man, I took my calories way up to over 4,500 to close to 5,000 calories.
Wow.
And he ended up going into 1984 at 243 pounds. Perfect. The same weight I wore in 1983.
Perfect shape.
So the good Lord answered that prayer, man. And I just try to use what I've learned and how I respect Roy and Robbie and try to impact the world in a positive way with my gift of bodybuilding.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was a blessed career when you look back at it, Lee. I mean, the way you rose up, you know, you won the Teenage Mr. America and then you won the first Nationals and then third in your Olympia and then the Olympia wins. There was no controversy in any of those. And then you retired on top. You know, not many guys do that. Most people keep pushing it until they get beat or they look worse, you know, but you really did it perfect.
Yeah, man. I had someone to ask me. I know Sean Ray asked me in an interview that it haven't aired yet. You know, he was asking me, well, Lee, did you plan your retirement or anything? And
yeah,
you know, did you and Shirley talk about it? And of course, I said, you know, when I reached my seventh one, me and Shirley had a conversation. And I said, well, baby, what do you think? Nobody ever did seven in a row. And she said, you got to do eight. What's the matter with you? You got to do eight. You know, I was almost embarrassed that I had considered not doing it. You know, Shirley's an athlete herself.
Breaking the record, yeah.
Yeah, man. So she was all over me. What's the matter with you? Of course you got to do eight. So anyway, that was the eighth one. And so I didn't announce my retirement at the eighth one, but I don't think I had to. I just knew that was it. I have no more desire to go any further. And I felt that it was time to use my faith in other directions, not to keep hammering away doing the same thing. I had conquered that particular area. Now, let's see what kind of father you can be, what kind of businessman you can be, how you can use your gifts and expand upon that. It's all about growing, not about standing still.
Yeah. Mm.
So I was lying on you, Lee. I was presumptuous. And when people ask me, why did, because I have you on my wall here in my studio in our last comparison at the 1987 Grand Prix after your 1987 win in the Olympia in Sweden the week before. And people always ask me, so why didn't he go on to win the ninth? And I said, no. I'm not presumptuous. So I'm speaking for you, Lee. Nothing ill intended. I said, he saw what was coming. He saw the type of physiques that were coming down the tube, and he didn't want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said, yeah, he was right. He doesn't look like these guys who come out all puffed up. And no. He was genuine. From head to his toenails, he was genuine. And he wanted to come into the Olympia as a picture of health. That is why I must confess to you, Lee, I spoke for you without permission.
Well, that was a perfect example, Roy. That's what you look like. That's what Robbie looked like. That's what I wanted to look like. You guys were the picture what a true Olympian is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And I figure if I can look like you guys, then guess what? I can be Mr. Olympia. So you was my inspiration.
Yeah.
I think that's my standout. I think that's my standout for the Lee, I must say, you look vibrant. There's something about you, I don't know what it is, my brother, but whatever it is, I would like to get it, or you can send me some or tell me how to do it. Your vibrance, man. Your vibrance is I feel uplifted now. I've spoken to you.
Well, I tell you what, man, I see yours, Roy. And Roy, you still haven't told me how young you are. You try to keep it as a secret.
I'm not. How young? Yeah. I told that to John. I said, John asked me that. I said, John, I'm 40 years old.
I like that, man. You're not going to let an old man catch you, are you? So you at least you gave John 6 more years than you gave me. You told me 34.
The piece of paper they gave me at my mother at the church says 1944. I was born. I said, it's okay, but I'm 40.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Hey, I learned something new, man. I'm going to use that one, Roy. Thank you. Hey, Roy, I was getting ready for the workshop, this gym takeover that I did this past Saturday, this Madhouse gym. And so, anyway, Roy, I had allowed my beard to sort of grow down here, you know.
No.
And I had my do-rag. I was looking all cool. But it was great. And I tell you, I told my wife, no. I'm not going to show up in front of the camera with my great beard. I said, you forget that. I shaved that thing off, man.
No.
We're not in the old people's business, man.
Right.
We're in the young business.
They lead you.
Look at John. First saw the guy. He looked older than now. John is getting younger. Every time I see it, that's what I want to see. That's what I like about bodybuilding. This is what I told John earlier before you came on. I was talking about the project I had. I think bodybuilding is not what guys look at it today, injecting oil here, injecting oil there. I think bodybuilding is about longevity. Yeah. I know that Father Time is going to get me. I know he's going to win. He always wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I am going to fight and fight till the very end because he will respect me for it.
Right.
You know, Roy, I did a book not long ago, man. It's called Fit at Any Age. And the book talks about age management, exercise, age management, nutrition, age management, supplementation. And so on the book, I have age groups from 90 all the way down to 50 something years young.
Wow.
And this book, I've toured with it. I've used it. Speaking to the corporations. You know what, Roy? I want to send you a copy of this book. Not like you need it. I just want to.
No, I do need it. No, I do need it. I just turned to my wife and said to her, you have to order that copy. And now you said you're going to send it to me. God bless you, man. Okay. I will treasure it and I will use it. I'll use it big time. I can't wait to see what's between the covers. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you. And I talked to them about something called functional training.
Oh, boy.
You know, which is, and again, it's about longevity, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About functionality as we get older. Now, my function is not as it was when I was Mr. Olympia. I don't need that type of function. I don't need a big chest and big legs. Listen, I just want to be able to get up in the morning. I want to be able to bend down, stand back up. I want to push a shopping cart. I'll pick up my grandkids. So my functionality and what I need is in line with those things. And that's what my exercise should exemplify. That type of functionality. And that's what I talk about in the book, functional exercise for the particular functionality.
Yeah. Yep. All pain-free. Man. Yeah,
that's right.
That's what I keep saying. And this is why I think, Lee, that most, I was telling John earlier, this is why I think that 99.99% of my clients are corporate clients.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a blessing from above. I don't push for the bodybuilder, the 20-inch arm guy. because I have not one. I don't have one client. Mm-hmm. Maybe one. I don't have one client who wants to have a 20-inch arm. They all want to look good in their suit. They all want to feel good in their job because most of them spend sedentary positions and we are aging very rapidly. So they appreciate everything I said. And thank heaven they appreciate the image that I project through it. And this is how I've done my thing. I didn't go in for a gym as it were. I have maybe God will have it so that we'll have you up here one time, Lee. It's just a studio. It's a private studio. Yes. And I see one client at a time. I see one client, maybe my wife will see another client at the same time, but there's only four of us in here.
Yeah.
And it's not a small place, but I think it's the future of training. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But people are comfortable doing it. And...
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And through my certification program, we have what is called the functional training certification, and we have ultimate bodybuilding.
Oh.
Functional training for the mass, like you said, doctors, lawyers, business people, CEO. Then you got the other one for hardcore. They want to know bench squats, carb loading, carb depleting.
Very smart.
All of those kinds of things.
You got it.
Two different ones.
Yeah.
Bodybuilders, they want the ones who say, I want to get certified. They understand that the majority of their income is going to come through ordinary people.
Right.
So they go in the direction of the functional training.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bodybuilders, they know everything anyway, which is why they own all these crazy teams and getting hurt all the time.
Yeah.
They go to YouTube and get exercise routine, which doesn't make sense.
Right.
I'm so flattered that I'm thinking along the same lines as Lee Haley. I'm so flattered. Don't say another word, brother. Please.
Hey guys, I wanted to ask you a little bit about bodybuilding today. It kind of, now they've got classic bodybuilding and we've got the open bodybuilding. But back in your day, Roy and Lee, it was all together, right? I mean, classic bodybuilding was bodybilling because they looked at everything. They looked at the symmetry, they looked at proportions, they looked at small waist. That was all considered. And it was kind of crazy looking back at those contests because you had all types of different body types. Like, Lee, look at the first Mr. Olympia you went in. Samir Banute won it. McAway was second. You were third. Bertle Fox was in it. Frank Zane. So, I mean, you got all these contrasting body types, but the judges were able to look at that and say, well, you know, Zane's got the symmetry and McAway's got the posing, and they were able to figure out how to judge these competitors. And now it's like when I hear guys coming up, they're like, oh, you're classic or you're open bodybuilding. But I kind of liked it back in the day when it was all together, right?
I'm confused. So I don't bother with it. I'm confused. I'm confused. I don't bother with it anymore. I don't think when we go to the Olympics. Well, you're a short sprinter, so right. No.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, like Roy was saying, it's just so different now. And one thing I look at is bodybuilding went in a direction that was not. I grew up seeing, I'm what I saw. I saw Robbie, I saw Roy, I saw Arnold, that's what I saw. Frank Zane, that's what I saw.
Right.
And that was the standard. Then I think bodybuilding, you know, I won my last Olympia 254 pounds, which people say, well, that's a mass monster, but no, it's not. I listen. I had a mother. Mother's 5'11", 230 pounds. My dad, muscular, 5'11", 225. Oh. My genetic blueprint is what it is.
Right.
But I had a 31.5-inch waist. You see, and over the years of training, quality, muscle separation. I started that early. And what I started early is what I read about and what I learned early through following the right precepts of training.
Right.
Legends like Roy. So I matured very fast in muscle maturity because of the right training, right form. Guys, now they use more of a powerlifting training principles. They train real heavy. They train some body parts are being trained once a week, which is, again, in line with more powerlifting than mm-hmm. it was classic bodybuilding. So as a result, you develop these big, wide, thick waists, physiques that's not polished or not finished. They're mm-hmm. bigger, but they're not more polished. And so when I finished up at 254, next thing you know, here's Condorian. So they wanted something big, but what they got big. And I say that first Olympia, I think Dorian looked best for that when it right. came to being a classic, more of a mm-hmm. physique.
Right.
But the second yes. one, I think he picked up probably about 20 pounds and he started to lose the thing that I had that I learned and yeah. took on the characteristic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I know Roy's ready to jump in. Go ahead, Roy.
No. He lost that appealing look. And I think that is, I presumptuously said that. This is why Lee stopped. Many people ask me, why do you think he stopped? You met him, you this, you that. I said, I think he stopped because he saw what was coming. He didn't want to go into the heavy GH loading and the oil injecting and that sort of stuff. Lee is a Christian. He's a man of God. And I don't think he would have wanted to insult the creator of that physique. And that is why he got out of bodybuilding. I did not know the real reason. But this is why I tell my clients and my who come in here and see your picture on the wall. They come in. That's what I say. I'm not. If I'm lying, I'm sorry. But that's the explanation I give.
that's the truth, Roy. That's the truth, you know. And you know, where bodybuilding is now, we can't go backwards.
Right.
What's called classic physique now is really classic bodybuilding. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know. But I don't like the fact that they put weight barriers on it, where you got to be a certain weight and a certain height. But I understand why they did that, so that it would overflow, cross over to mm-hmm. present day bodybuilding,
yeah,
which mm-hmm. is a whole nother look, you know. But for the guys, I like the fact that there's a place in the room for everybody now. You mm-hmm. got the physique guys who wear the long shorts, you know, they don't have that legs, and so then you got class physique guys who are more of what we look like. Yep. You know, which is very appealing. I love classic physique, but then you got what is called bodybuilding, which is power lifters with muscles. you know, that's the look that you get. So it's different, but everybody can make money now. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to see that, and there's a place at the table.
Yeah.
So in that is that expanded in such a way that's good. I'm glad to see the classic bodybuilding or classic physique come to fruition. I just wish the prize money for classic physique was just as good,
yeah.
You know, as it is for regular bodybuilding,
yeah.
because that's what made the sport beautiful, and that's what's keeping it beautiful.
Yeah.
When I see these kids on the road, man, they're not saying they want to look like, they don't say they want to look like Ronnie or Dorian. Even Jay Cutler said, Lee, we want to look like you. We'd like you had a small waist. You had a nice mm-hmm. taper. That's what we want to look like.
Right.
And I look like Roy. I look like Robbie. I look like Arnold.
Right.
I look like Frank Zane.
Right. That's why those old physiques from back then are still so popular today. I mean, that never goes away, right?
That's right.
John, don't forget your physique.
15-year-olds that come to my booth saying, yeah, I want to look like that.
Right, right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the posing also before I let you guys go. Lee, did you see that picture on Roy's shirt there?
Oh, let me see that, Roy.
That's a famous pose.
RC3.
See that famous?
Oh, yeah. That's there we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's pretty raw. Oh, that's the one. Hey, Roy.
That's the pose, right?
Listen, Roy, I tried to do that pose. I couldn't do it the way Roy.
I told him.
I tried, man. I was on one all up sideways. I couldn't do it, Roy.
I told him, yeah. That was the biggest compliment I ever had.
I couldn't do that one, Roy. I didn't have that big slab of beef hanging off my back. You've affected that. I haven't seen anybody
me neither
to copy that pose like Roy did.
No, me neither.
No, but you have never paid me a bigger compliment, man. That is the biggest compliment. I told people in my, because I put your picture next to mine. I said, you see this guy? Well, he did this. He did that. He's the only person that ever tried. That's the biggest compliment I ever had. Biggest compliment. I mean, you're talking about classic physique, John. Please don't forget your own, okay?
All right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Man.
But going to that pose, I mean, that shows the great – when you're a great poser and you come up with those iconic poses like that, I mean, you'll be remembered forever for that pose, Roy. So, I mean, that's the value, I think, right, of doing a great posing routine,
which
a lot of these competitors, I'm sad to say, I think they're missing the point on that. They're not putting the effort into creating these great posing routines that can be remembered forever.
You had to be able to pose, though, at that time. We had to show our athleticism.
So important, right?
And we had to go into musical interpretation. We had to be able to demonstrate that we are not just a bunch of muscle.
Right.
We can bend and twist and stretch and split and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
While carrying this sort of muscle. So it kind of shut a lot of people's mouths the way we used to handle ourselves on stage, because the final question would always be, well, how come they can do all that with all that muscle?
Yeah, yeah.
To the question of the layman.
Yeah.
How can they do all that and they look so big? Must be good, man. Must be good. They're flexible. it spoke volumes for our sport.
Right, right. Well, that's what the whole sport is, right? It's the not just the building of the physique, it's presenting the physique, and that's where the art comes from, right?
Be able to do things.
I mean, Lee, I'll never forget your routine at that 84 Olympia, how you started it. And then you went into that pose like this with your shoulders out.
Mind-boggling.
And then with a different song. And then your last one in 91, you did the same routine, right?
You finished the same routine.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. I was looking at the 1984, then comparing it to the 1991.
Yeah.
I mean, the maturity of positioning of the body had just...
Yeah.
I looked at it like, well, how did I win 1984? Posing like that and compared to 1991.
But
it's like the artistry you perfected over a year to get better and better. And, you know, I remember Arnold, the 1983 Olympic when I placed third. We were back there in Germany at the after party. And Arnold came over to the table where me and Sheridan were sitting. You know, we sort of sitting off a little bit. And he said, Lee, you look great on stage. He said, but your posing routine lacked. He said, if you're going to pose on this stage with legends, you got to take it to a whole nother level. He said, your transitioning, although, you know, it was okay, it was good enough to win the NPC Nationals, I'll be world championship, but you don't stay with Roy Callender, with Roger Roberts, and McCallaway and Zane.
Come on.
Man, they will chew you up. Right. He said, so look, when we get back to California, you come to my office, I'm going to introduce you to my posing coach. And once the introduction is made, she can work with you however you want to do it. And then once you get your routines down, get better at that, you'll be Mr. Olympia. And that's what Arnold told me. Mm-hmm. When I got back to California from, you know, I was there in his office, I think a few days later after getting back. And man, there you go. She worked with me and helped me with my transitions. And I just worked my tail off with the posing. And I just saw it get better and better from year to year. And like you were saying, that's something that they had pretty much, as of the last few years, just totally dropped the point system in posing.
It didn't count
for anything.
Right, right.
So the artistry of what I learned watching, you know, Roy and people doing that era, it was being lost. You have these meatheads who go out on the stage and then they take their hands and say, come on, pose for me.
Yeah.
Come on, clap for me. Right. You give the people something to clap for, they'll clap.
Right.
But they walk to one end of the stage and hit one pose. Then they walk to the, it looked like a some kind of nightclub.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you never did that kind of goofy stuff, jumping down, running down in the audience. We didn't do any that's a nightclub brawler looking kind of a deal.
Right.
So the classicness of what I learned, and that was from, again, from Raw and that era, it has sort of, it gotten lost. I think it's trying to sort of make its way back. As I understand, they're now starting to give best posing awards. Good. I know Arnold did at his event because Sergio Olivier Jr. received that. And I'm glad to see that happen.
Me too. Yeah, I think that's something that's really missing in the sport, and I hope that comes back. You know, because I think, you know, I said this before on my podcast, with the YouTube and stuff and everybody looking at the videos, can you imagine if somebody created a great posing routine now? I mean, that thing would be watched a million times because people are looking for that, you know? Yeah.
Well, they're waiting on Roy to do it. Roy, you think you want to do that?
Yeah, that's the joke of the show. Really?
I'm telling you. Hey, you don't know what the fuck. It's so crazy out there now, man. You say, well, what criteria do we now? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, man.
All right, guys. Well, I'll wrap it up here. I can't thank you guys enough for joining me, and it was great seeing you two back together. Roy Callender and Lee Haney, thank you guys so much for joining me on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And Lee, you've got your certification program. And where can people go to get information on that, Lee?
Well, John, all they have to do is go to IAFS certification.com. Okay. Visit the site there, and we got contact information. We got video clips concerning what the certification looked like. The other thing that we recently did too, John, which we're getting ready to start promoting that, I created an associated member link. So you can become a member of the association now. And if you later want to become certified, you can. But through the associated member link, you can still get downloads on training, nutrition, all of that for a fee. And yet you can still be certified with whoever you're with, or if you're just a regular athlete wanting information, then you can get some real knowledge there.
Okay.
You know, whether you're under my certification or not. So that's the associate member link.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And Roy, we've got something coming up with you. We're going to talk about that in a minute, and that you got your app coming up, RC3. So Roy and Lee, you guys are both continuing the journey of educating today's youth and the future.
You got to pass it on, brother. We got to pass it on.
Right. You got to pass it on. Exactly.
Yep.
You guys are doing awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining me again on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I hope to have you guys on again in the future. It's always great talking to you guys.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, brother. Roy, it was a real honor. God bless you. Hey, we're going to be doing some stuff together pretty soon, okay?
Yes. Love you, man. Love you.
I love you, too. God bless you.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. All right, Roy, before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about this big project you have coming up, which is an app, right? And we have your friend Carlos Benfetto, and he is helping you get this launched. So, Carlos or Roy, tell us a little bit about this. What's this all about?
Sure, I can. Go ahead, Roy.
I think I should tell you first, John, that Carlos came in as a client. And we had to fix some things, and I'm glad he trusted me to do that. I was flattered, actually.
Okay.
And we got to talking as clients do, and why I do this and why I do that. And after about the fifth session, I didn't know he was that analytical. I don't know clients. I take things for granted. And then he came in one day and said to me, Roy, RC3. I said, no. That's the name of my studio, CCC, Calendar Concept Coaching. So he said, RC3. I said, no. He said, you should think about it. What you do here is you're wasting your time, man. What you do, the things you told me, the things that we do together, I never saw them before. And you got some shit here. Excuse me, the language. You got some stuff here that we should share with the rest of the world. And I had my doubts mainly because I am not a technical guy. And then I think he saw my doubts. He saw me doubting. And then before he left, he said, Roy, I'm a web developer.
Mm.
And that did it. I got confident. I realized he wasn't a con man. And then we got closer. And now he's not only my client, where I look after his body, But I am his client. He looks after RC3. That's where RC3 was created.
Okay.
That's where it was born.
So Carlos, this is like an app then, right?
It is. And just maybe to add a little bit to what Roy said there, the conversations we had were really about our frustrations, our collective frustrations. Roy would share with me, you know, I spend so much time with my clients in the studio. They get it right. They're doing it right. And then they go home for a week and do their thing and come back. And it kind of loses that continuity, that consistency. And, you know, we were talking about how can we solve that? Mm-hmm. And part of my frustration was, it's great when I'm in the studio with Roy, but I wish I had Roy in my pocket. So when I mm-hmm. went to the gym, I can make sure I could do these things the right way and the way Roy intended for me to do them. And so we started talking about the technology available there. And you're exactly right, John. It is an app that we're kind of almost think of it like we're creating a digital Roy and a digital way of representing his coaching and his concept. And that's where RC3 was kind of born. And I would say like the biggest differentiator, what we're doing between, let's say, the apps that are on the market, and we looked at a lot of the apps on the market and how we can solve this type of problem. And if you look at the apps on the market today, it's really about grocery lists, right? You have a list of exercises.
Yeah.
You kind of check off the boxes and you tell them how many reps you did. But nobody's really telling you if you did it right. You know, are you risking injury? Are you pulling? Are you doing it with the right posture? Are you doing it with the right momentum, the tempo, the technique, and really giving you that live real-time feedback?
Yeah, that's true.
So the approach we're taking is really about that. It's how do we take all of the knowledge that Roy has and that he really gives to his clients and make sure you always have that with you no matter where you are. And you don't need any proprietary equipment or any expensive equipment. The app kind of looks at you in real time and it uses vision and it uses language to really correct you while you're doing the exercise. So you're always doing it right and making sure you're avoiding injury.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. Yeah. I've seen a few apps and like you said, you're right. They just show you the exercises and they demonstrate the exercises so you know how to do them, but you don't know if you're doing them right and your trainer's not there to correct you.
Exactly. And so we're really leveraging the latest technology and artificial intelligence. And you're going to hear a lot of apps that say they use artificial intelligence and it's more behind the scenes. We're really taking this real-time, hyper-personalized approach where, you know, the way I do a curl or the way I do a leg extension is not exactly the way somebody else should do it. I might have an injury. I might have a weakness that I'm adapting for. And all of this knowledge and all of this technique and all of this hyper-personalization, that's what we're really putting in this app. And it makes sure that you're doing it the right way for every rep and every set.
So how does that work, Carlos? How do they know that Roy's there? You know, how is Roy there to correct everybody?
Yeah. So what we do is, you know, how does Roy help everybody is we really take all of Roy's techniques and we train our artificial intelligence to think and to look for the things that Roy's looking for. So we really draw out your skeletal system. We got all of your joints. We look at how fast they're moving, if you're doing the right holds. We look at your fingers. We look at how you're holding the equipment. All of it is in real time. And we use computer vision, which is a technology in artificial intelligence, to really assess that in real time and provide the feedback. And that feedback is visual and audio. It'll actually be speaking to you, telling you to correct your elbow or correct your arm, to slow down the pace, and you see it on screen as well. So you always have this visual feedback so you can know what you need to correct and how you can correct it.
Wow. So if a guy's doing hack squats and he's going too fast, this artificial intelligence will see that and will say, slow down the descent or whatever.
Exactly. Or hold a certain, you know, position when you're at the bottom, if you're doing a different tempo, and I'll actually show you your joints and how you're holding your posture and how you're holding the equipment and make sure that it's level, that your legs are at the right angle, that your hips are, you know, stable and that your shoulders are at the right position. All of this is always continuous in real time. So you always have the feedback that you need while you're doing the exercise. And you don't have to wait that week when you go see your trainer again.
Wow, that's crazy. I never heard of that before.
Yeah.
So Roy, you were kind of hesitant about doing something like this, right? Because like you said, you're not into that online stuff. You want to be there. You want to train your clients one-on-one. That's the way you will spend with your personal training, right?
Yes, but I think that is how Carlos got interested, because I wouldn't even let him breathe too hard unless it was correct. Everything has to be correct. If I try to do the same thing, John, look at it this way. Can you imagine? You know how really great it feels when you can train and you're never injured, mm-hmm. and you hear everybody's complaining, and you're really enjoying it. It's a real. I'm getting carried away with my emotion. It's a real joy when you work out and you feel great and you don't have to go home and tell your wife or your girlfriend, I hurt my back in the gym today. You shouldn't hurt your back in the gym. People come to the gym to be healed. People yeah. exercise to be healed, not to be injured. We're not rugby players. We're
right.
You know, we're not super athletes. We're not doing basketball. We are trying to preserve. This is how I see bodybuilding, because it has evolved into something else recently. But for me, bodybuilding is body protection. It is prolonging the living process. It is anti-aging. It is age fighting. It is physical diminishing fighting. We fight against the normal process. Father Time is going to get us anyway.
Yeah,
but right, I'm going to put up a hell of a fight before he gets there. And I intend to preserve this one thing that we have.
Right.
Preserve it, make it look good, make it feel good, and make it function as long as we can in the right way, as long as possible.
Okay.
This is what I think bodybuilding is. I think this is how the old school, if I may say that word, used to look at bodybuilding. That includes yeah. you.
Right.
This is how I see bodybuilding, I think. I hesitate to use the word bodybuilding now for most of my clients because, like I said, 99.99% of my clients are all corporate.
Okay.
So a guy is not going to want a 21-inch arm to fit into a 10-inch suit. So he just wants to look and feel good and feel stronger. Guy who's always sitting, as we know, sitting is
right.
aging factors. He's sitting. He wants to function. And this is where I come in. And he wants to function without injury. And this is what wins. This is what has won all of my corporate clients over. They realize, hey, you're not like the trainer in the gym. I said, I'm not. I thought you saw that on the door. We are a private facility. And my job is to make sure you feel good about your training. You feel safe. I teach something that you can go home and think about. This is the function of, this is what bodybuilding is. Right. Yes, you see me there. You see me there on the wall with a 20-inch arm. But that's the competitive aspect of our sport.
Yeah.
It's also part of our sport, which is more generalized, general population. I think everybody should do bodybuilding. Everyone should do bodybuilding. We just would have to paint the image out, which is impossible, because there's not one corporate guy I know who would like to look like the current Mr. Olympia. No insult intended.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, no, I don't want to diminish anybody's accomplishments or anything. But I have not met so far in my career one corporate guy who wants to have a 24-inch arm.
Yeah.
I don't. So this is the market that our app is going to attack.
Okay.
That huge lost market yeah. of them.
So Carlos, how does this work now? Does Roy set up a training program for each individual and then the app is developed around that?
Yeah, that's kind of the way you can see it. So it really starts with that first assessment. So every client that uses the app gets time with Roy, and that's really important for us. It's really important for the client as well. And, you know, Roy will go through his assessment, and Roy will tell RC3 exactly what the weaknesses are, what he thinks needs to be worked on, and kind of have that really personalized program for the client. But then it goes to the actual exercises themselves. How do we make sure that, you know, that person is doing the squat they need to do to help them? And how do we make sure that they're doing, you know, a curl that's appropriate for them? And really personalizing it down to that level. And then that interaction between Roy, the client, and the app then continues once the client starts using the app. And they can always be sure that they're getting the feedback exactly the way Roy would. So they install the app on their phone, and it's a really hands-free experience. You don't need to hold on to your phone. You don't need to check it out while, you know, you're doing your rep and really break your concentration. The way we've kind of designed it is you kind of drop your phone there, you place it, and you kind of forget about it. And it's just watching, monitoring, providing live feedback as while you're working out. So it's a real hands-free, frictionless experience. And you kind of download the app and get going.
So forgive my stupid questions, but how does the phone watch the person?
You don't ask the good questions, John. No, you don't.
So part of the innovation in this is we're actually going to have this little kind of tripod that you can put the phone on that also is powered by AI. And one of the nuts that we cracked from a technology perspective is always making sure that that person is in frame. And we have this tracking system that recognizes you as the client. So it'll say, hey, John, you know, you want to start your workout. You'll say, yeah, let's get into it. And it'll start tracking you around your gym or around your home and following you as you move from station to station or from area to area, always making sure that you're in focus and that RC3 can see you. So you kind of set that up, put it where, you know, at a specific spot in your home or in your gym, and it just becomes your coach that's next to you while you're working out.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. I never heard of an app like that before.
It is pretty unique, yeah.
Roy, do you do nutrition too, or is it just basically the training with this app?
Well, I like to stick to things that I'm an expert at. I don't think I'll sit down backseat to anybody, maybe you, but I don't think I'll take a backseat to anybody when it comes to physical exercise.
Right.
Especially with weights. Nutrition, yes, I do give tips. When I was training my ladies for competition, yes, I'd guide them nutritionally, but I'm not a nutrition expert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to prepare myself for that at all. Like you, I think you may know a little bit more about nutrition than I do, but what I do, I took what I learned as a bodybuilder, not played with it, but understood what I was doing nutritionally, and I can help somebody else based on that knowledge and experience, especially females. It was very, very easy to do, but I'm not a nutrition expert at all.
Okay. So when somebody starts this, is it just a monthly fee, Carlos? How does that work? How do apps work?
Yeah. So we're going to have a bunch of different ways that people can try the app. We're going to have something coming up that's going to be called the RCP Challenge. So we know that one of the things that Roy did during his career was that famous pose. And we're going to allow people to download the app just to try the pose themselves and enter into contests. So that'll be coming up through the year. We're going to be able to have these virtual tune-up centers. So if you want to go on our website at any time, you'll be able to go on and just pick an exercise that you've done, record yourself, upload it to our website, and it'll be like RC3 is analyzing you with the app, and it'll give you some feedback on how you're doing the exercise, provide you some analysis so you can correct some things. So we'll have that set up. But ultimately, you'll download the app in Q1 2022. So we're aiming for a January launch where you'll be able to download the app. But up until then, we're going to have a bunch of different ways that people can try. We're going to have contests and some fun events like the RCP Challenge.
So you said they're going to do the Roy Calendar pose, the one that's on a shirt?
That's right. So we'll be looking for you, John, to try that one. Absolutely.
Right, I'll have to get in shape for that. Maybe I'll use a little Photoshop on mine.
I don't know. No, John, Carlos, you must know John, man. But I think John can do it. I was flattered with that Roy Calendar pose thing that flattered almost to tears. When our next guest, Lee Haney, he called me and told me, Roy, I wanted to call you to get permission to try your pose, but right. I tried it. That was so flattering, man. Lee Haney? Those were some of the things I remember about it.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. I can't wait to see the pictures on that.
Neither can I. That's Carlos's ingenuity. I didn't think of anything like that.
Yeah. So Carlos, you said January of next year it'll be launched completely, but it'll be kind of available a little before that, right?
Yeah. So we'll have the tune-up center where people can try out their own exercises and really give RC3 a run for its money there. In about September, we're going to have the RCP Challenge in October, and we'll have different events where people can try it out. But you can always follow us on rc3.app on our Instagram account. Stay up to date on what's coming and some of the innovation that we're coming out there, and on our website, which is rc3.app as well. And so we'll be sharing a lot of these great events coming up, but we have some fun stuff planned for the community, for the clients, and for the Roy Calendar fans out there.
Okay. So rc3.app is the place to go.
That's the place to go. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to check it out and get working on my Roy Calendar post.
We'd like your critique more than anything else, though. Coming from you, John. Yes.
Well, you know, my age, Roy, it's just going to be hard getting into that pose with my, you know, the court.
I just told you it's nothing to do with age, man. Come on. Right.
That's true. You're living proof of that, Roy.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
All right, Carlos. Well, thank you for joining us on the show, and thanks for telling us about that. I'll keep my viewers up to date on it as we go along, and, you know, let them know when the Roy Callender pose is ready to go and all the other things where they could try the exercises.
But thank you so much, John, and really thank you for having us on and letting us talk about this project. We're excited, but I mean, being on your podcast is something special. So thank you that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And it sounds like it's going to be really sounding groundbreaking as far as the AI goes. And I've never heard of any of these innovations. So good luck to you guys on both of that.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Thanks, Carlos. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, John. Really sincerely.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks to Roy Callender and Lee Haney for joining us. That was fantastic. Thank you to Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to all our Patreon donors for consistently helping out the show every month by donating money to the show. I really appreciate you guys. All right. Before we let you guys go, I'm going to read this article again from the September 1979 issue of Muscle Builder magazine. If you remember these muscle builders at the time, if those of you who were around and collected them, Joe Weider, I think it was in 1979, every issue he was doing it was kind of a head and shoulders shot of a bodybuilder. So it was just their face and the top of their shoulders. And I think it was just like a weird covers. It wasn't like the full body. And he did it for about, I think, like six issues. He had Mike Mentzer, he had Arnold, he had Lou Ferrigno, he had Robbie Robinson. And then he also did one with the statue of Joe Weider, which supposedly also was taken from the picture he did with Robbie Robinson. Anyways, this is one of those issues. Robbie is on the cover. The name of the article is called The Winner, and it's by Bill Reynolds. And it says how Roy Callender whipped himself into shape to beat Beckles, Emmett, Herder, and Corny at the Pro Mr. Universe at Sydney, Australia. I have a lot to learn, confessed Roy Callender, who only 12 hours before had won the IFBB Pro Mr. Universe title. We were at his hotel room besides Bondi Beach in Sydney, his charming wife Maggie sitting beside him. Every time I come to one of these contests, I learn something new and invariably come away with a better appreciation of how much I still don't know. I must confess that I was somewhat taken aback by this statement. Here's a man 5'8" tall who packs on a rock hard 220 pounds for each contest. After 2 years of training, he made short work of Mr. United Kingdom and Mr. Europe contestants. And after 2 years of comeback training, he'd already taken the Mr. Canada, Mr. International, Amateur Mr. Universe, and Pro Mr. Universe titles. If this guy was serious about not knowing how to train, he must be one of the greatest natural bodybuilders our sport has ever seen. I wouldn't say that I'm gifted, answered the Montreal Macedon. It's true that I've won international titles after 2 years of training, and incidentally, without ever hearing of steroids. Because of that, people call me gifted, but they don't eat with me and they don't train with me. They might come to the gym when I start, but when I'm done training and they're at a bar somewhere having a beer, I'm still in the gym. If being able to work hard and be termed gifted, then I am gifted. But you can bet that only hard work has put me where I am today. Where Roy Callender is today is damn near the top of the pyramid of bodybuilders striving for Mr. Olympia gold. His incredible muscle fullness has been supplemented in the last year by a sane approach to balancing his proportions. By laying off the 500-pound rep squats and using continuous tension movements, Roy has streamlined his formerly overly large and hammy thighs. This has given him a 25% overall improvement in his physique, but he's far from satisfied. Like everyone, I have weak points. I train them longer and harder and they come up, but they are still a bit down from what I'm looking for. Right now, I'm sure to get in a solid hour of hard training for my calves every day. This last statement gives some insight into Roy's amazing training strategy. He doesn't just train, he bombs his muscles with massive weights for an incredible number of sets. Sometimes he's in the gym for as much as 8 hours per day, all fast and heavy training. But we're moving too quickly. Let's let Roy tell in his own words how he trains. To begin with, you must understand that I train explicitly according to the Weider instinctive training principle. Over the years, I've been able to learn what my body's telling me it needs.
And then I'm sure to train according to these subtle feelings differently every day. Different body parts, different lengths of workouts. I may train some body parts daily, particularly those which are lagging. Since I live 25 miles from Jimmy Caruso's gym in Montreal, I have a lot of time to think about my coming workout on the drive to the gym. According to how I feel, I plan out approximately what I will do for my workout that day. Some days, I like doing my whole body in one day, while others, I can do much less. Either way, the plan I make while driving in will be subject to change according to how good I feel at various stages of the workout. Generally speaking, I train 7 days a week until my body demands a rest. I don't know about weeks or months, just that when the sun rises, I have to get up and go train, be it Sunday, Tuesday, bank holiday, or Christmas. Finally, my body gets to the point where it tells me I have to rest, and only then do I take a day off. The most I've gone was 20 straight days, and the least was 12. Once I get into the gym, I like to dress tropically. I hate to cover myself like an Eskimo because I do come from Barbados originally, and it's in the tropics. In Montreal, the weather gets cold at times, but it's not necessary to dress heavily at all times. Some guys in the gym seem to feel it has to be cold, so they open up all the windows in the winter. That disturbs me very much, and I really can't function to my fullest under those conditions. In the gym, I prefer to dress in track pants, a t-shirt, and carpet slippers. I always train in those carpet slippers. I also always use sponges to protect my hands. There's no reason why bodybuilders have to have rough and calloused hands. Heaven only knows why I pick certain body parts to work on certain days. I just go by instinct, the Weider instinctive training principle as to what to work. It just seems to know what needs some training and how much it needs. Over the years, the instinct just developed. I can't explain it, but it happens. In Canada, you just have to warm up thoroughly, and I know I must warm up much more there than if I was training in California. I work light at first on every movement, doing 2 or 3 warm-up sets, even if I'm already warm from another exercise. If I've been doing chest for an hour or two and then I switch over to shoulders, they'll be somewhat warm from the pec work, but I still do the 2 or 3 warm-up sets for each delt exercise. With heavy training, this warm-up is the only way to avoid injuries. Actually, bodybuilding has been very therapeutic for my joints. I've had joint problems, but from pro wrestling, not from bodybuilding. I was what wrestlers call a flyer, always in the air, and on my back, knees, and elbows took a big pounding every time I landed on the mat. It all took its toll, so I couldn't squat or bench without warming up all day once I began some full-time bodybuilding. After 2 years, my joints now feel fine. My body requires both high intensity and high volume work to grow. Sometimes I train a body part 2 or 3 hours at a time with heavy weights, and I rest 30 to 45 seconds between sets on average. A few weeks ago, I found myself doing a chest superset using a pair of 135-pound dumbbells for 8 on the incline dumbbell press and 100s for 8 on flies. I've squatted 500 and I benched 400 for a lot of reps, very strictly. I can curl 200 pounds for 4 reps. There is a conscious link between my mind and the muscles, and I don't really think about the weight I'm using. That's why I was surprised to be using so much in the chest superset I just mentioned. The muscles simply grow to accommodate the heavier weights. Everyone seems to ask me how many sets I do per body part, and putting a number on that would be unfair. I don't count sets, and I usually don't even count reps, so putting a number on it would be asking me to guess. I do feel I have to train long hours, which probably means a lot of sets. I certainly wouldn't train less than 3.5 hours per day because it just wouldn't give me a good workout. My really long workouts seem to happen about once every 2 weeks. I'm feeling good, and at such times, I don't even know how long I've been in the gym. I'm enjoying the workout so much that it feels like I've been in the gym for an hour, but it's been 8. I'll drink some liquids during those 8 hours, but I never eat until I'm done training. I wish I could say that diet plays a great part in my success, but I simply don't know enough about it yet. I've been monitoring my diet, but in ignorance. You know, Bill, I don't even know how to eat right before the last few days before a competition. The few hints you gave me helped enormously for the pro universe. I was more ripped, more vascular, and less waterlogged than ever before. Nobody told me how to eat and dehydrate before. I have so much to learn still that a trip to California for a few weeks of training is obligatory. Instead of just talking to the champions once a month at the contest, I could talk with them every day. You know, that would be able to help me out a hell of a lot. I'd even be able to consult with Joe Weider, an aspiration that's pure dreamland up in Montreal. I learned from a lot of people like Robbie, Mike Mentzer, and you, Bill. my attitude changes towards the positive a little bit each time I talk with someone. I found out, for example, that it was possible to be goal-oriented and yet have no purpose along the way. Talking to you three has convinced me that having a purpose makes goals more attainable. My general training philosophy is based on goals, but what's the use of having goals with no purpose? As a professional, I have to be goal-oriented. There's also a touch of ego in it. I feel as though I let myself down if I don't go all out to reach the goals I set. This year's goal is the Olympia, and my purpose is not to let myself down. I promise myself I'll win, and I don't ever want to go back on a promise to myself. Of course, I also promise my little daughter, which makes my purpose twofold. Roy's quite happy with momentum he's generating this year en route to the Olympia in early October. Since Florida in February, I've progressed steadily, and I haven't been burning out. I think I'm coping very well with the larger number of pro shows this year, and I'll be in all of them. Last year, I had considerable mental unrest, which held back my training. Now I'm at peace mentally, and all my workouts are very enjoyable. Maggie wants to help me, and she's very enthusiastic. The enthusiasm rubs off on me, and I train just that much harder. With this combination, I'm going to win the Olympia this year. How can I lose? All right. So that article was by Bill Reynolds from the September 1979 issue of Muscle Builder magazine. And it's interesting that they keep saying how many hours Roy was in the gym. And I asked him about that in the interview we just did. And, of course, he denied it. So I don't know if Bill Reynolds made that up. But I do remember reading that a couple times about Roy Callender, unless Roy maybe forgot how many times or how many hours he used to work out. But that was interesting. And like Lee Haney said in our interview with Roy, Roy had just so much muscle mass. The pictures of him from back in the day, he is just so much bigger and thicker than everybody he competed with. It was really amazing physique. So glad we got to talk to both Lee Haney and Roy Callender, and I'll try and get him back on the show one of these days. All right, guys, that's it. Also, I want to mention happy birthday to Sergio Oliva, who was born on July 4th. I forgot to mention that in the opening. Sergio, I believe, was born in 1940. If those dates are right. I don't know if they kept good records in Cuba, but he was supposedly born July 4th, 1940. So, of course, Sergio would have been 81 years old today if he was still alive. So rest in peace, Sergio Oliva, one of our greatest champions ever. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks for listening. Hope to see you guys next week for our fourth anniversary special. Stay healthy, enjoy your workouts, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.